to the Harvest Word Assembly, the city of refuge, where all can find and dwell in God's love, where destinies are aligned and lives are transformed by the raw, undiluted power of God. Under the leadership of Prophet Gbenga Shafe, we gather today not just for service, but for an encounter. Get ready, heaven is open, the word is alive, and your miracle is now.
Your destiny. While Pastor was ministering this in the first service, I just recalled how Jesus told Peter, he said, come. And Peter took that step of faith. And Peter was walking towards Jesus. And what happened? The enemy saw the need to distract Peter. There's a lot of distractions now. Fuel, inflation, school fees, all of that. All those are distractions. But when you come to him and test of his goodness, you have that distraction will be paralyzed forever. Can we take that song with fundamental understanding? You say come, you say come, you say come. Let me remind you. The Bible says you are like the tree that is planted by the rivers of water. In this year of dominion, it says you bring forth fruits in and out of season. See, let me explain to you what a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, what it means. In my place, we don't lack water because it's an island. So you are not buying water. You are not paying a water corporation, you know, because we are surrounded by water. A tree that is surrounded by the rivers of water, that tree does not lack nutrients. Let me explain to you. That tree does not lack the raw, undiluted word from the Lord. That tree does not lack food. My landlady traveled, and over 1 month, when I got back for leave, I didn't see them. And I noticed that the aloe vera plants that they had in the back of our compound was already dying. I started watering that aloe vera plant. If I don't carry out that exercise, that aloe vera plant will die. So when scripture says you are like the tree that is planted by the rivers of water, you bring forth fruit in your season. Whatever, whatever, whatever. We are going to take that song before the message comes forth. Whatever you do, is that what? It shall prosper. And if you look at John chapter 15, can we see John chapter 15 and verse 5? Quickly, John chapter 15 and verse 5. There is a lot of worry in this year 2026 that the Lord has declared unto us as our year of dominion. You need to bypass, you need to shut your mind from all of those worries and see as God has proposed for us to see. Now he said, Now, he said, Jesus speaking, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Imagine when you cut off a tree from its branch. What happens? You drop that tree on the floor. Give that tree, that leaf, 2 or 3 days. What happens? It begins to turn from green to brown, yellow, and all of that. Before you know, black. Before you know, it extinguishes. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He said, he that abides in me. That's why we are taking that song. Your trust in God must not be, you shouldn't disconnect yourself from God. You shouldn't disconnect your trust from God. Sometimes the challenges of this world, sometimes the pressures in your office, sometimes the pressures from your boss, we want to make you think, is this God still alive? Can this God not see what I am going through in Potiphar's house? Is this God not seeing what I'm going through from Potiphar's house? And I thought I was supposed to be promoted, but I was being thrown into the jail. Can I see that scripture? I was being thrown into jail. He said, he that abides in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth fruit. He said, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Without Jesus, you can do absolutely nothing. Can we take that song? A few moments. Hallelujah. With Jesus' joy, can we put our hands to the King of Kings? With Jesus' joy, can we put our hands to the Lord of Lords? He's a good, good Father. Can you take your seat in God's presence like a king and a priest that you are this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Most times when you are at that crossroad, and when you don't know what to do, most times it's not a time for you to, you may not even know what to pray about. Just dive deep and begin to worship God. You say, come and taste. That's a sweet word for evangelism. You want to talk to people, say, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. For me, my evangelism is very easy. When I was challenged in 2024, and my senior friend who doubles as my boss and my prayer partner, he said, just go and do evangelism. Go and tell people about God. And it was so simple. Evangelism made easy. I just share my life story with them, and I saw people, you know, keying into that world and turning their lives to Christ. Back then in Benin, Oba Palace in Benin is a very strange place. If you know Benin very well, Oba Palace is a very, you don't just go there and you start, you know, proclaim that they are, if not spiritual, first, if the spiritual will come in the night, they are physical touts that will lay you there. Hallelujah. But when you have that sure confidence in God's word and what God has directed you to do, the fear will vanish eventually. Hallelujah. Quickly, Isaiah 22, I just want us to take a short read in Isaiah 22, verse 22. He said, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. Hallelujah. He said, and the key of the house of David. You know, before now, prior to some times back, I was thinking this scripture was talking about Jesus. But I'd like us to look at from verse 20. From verse 20, he said, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Bar-Michael, the son of Michael. He said, I will clothe him with what? Thy robe. And strengthen him. and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hands, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I was thinking this scripture was referring to Jesus until I realized that it was actually me. Hallelujah. And in verse, it's for both of us. Hallelujah. And in verse 21, which I just read, if you look at that verse 21, that's to tell you about God relinquishing authority to us as his servant. Hallelujah. In verse 22, he now said, and I will give him the key of the house of David, which I lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. He said, you shall open and no bagger can shut. First of all, the opening is being done in the realm of the spirit. That's what I was trying to explain to us, how I started building on what Pastor Tope said last week. He said, you shall open and no man is permitted to shut. The problem with believers is that we don't believe. I said the problem with believers is that we don't believe, or we just say, how can these things be? That's why scripture showed us the story of Sarah and the story Sarah when the angel visited her, and the story of Zachariah. I was wondering, I was saying, wow, that God might be partial. If he could shut the mouth of Zachariah and still permitted Sarah to go scot-free, until I delved into scripture and I studied the posture, spiritual posture of Zachariah and the spiritual posture of Sarah. God cannot be partial. Sarah accepted that word. And if somebody said, my cousin told me sometime, they said, because my faith was so rugged in the house, so rugged. He said, it is not only when you tell somebody you are mad, that's when you have insulted that person, that you can actually insult somebody without pronouncing a word. Hallelujah. So if you look at the posture of Sarah, you'll be able to distinguish why the Lord punished the father of John the Baptist and left Sarah. Praise the Lord. It has to do with posture. A lot of Christians, God has already told us, this is our year, through his servant's word. This is our year of dominion. Running through scriptures, we have been exposed to so many scriptures. And one of them is what I bring to us today in Isaiah 22 and verse 22. He said, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon your shoulder, and you shall open. Say, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever. He didn't say some things. Come on. Please, rethink. I study scriptures, and most time when I study, I pause and I think. I saw that thing in scripture. I pause and I think. He said, whatever you bind, whatever you lose, if you lose your marital bliss here on earth, heaven backs what you have said. If there is crisis in your home, in your office, and you decided to bind that crisis here on earth, just go and sleep. My senior colleague told me something that happened in the head office here in Ikoyi, that one of the superior bosses was looking for her glasses. And he went down to meet her. Say, madam, have you seen your glasses? He said, no. So I've been looking for these glasses for 2 weeks. And she didn't see the glasses. So she just felt, okay, probably she will just go and do another one. You know, we have HMO. HMO can give you like 4 glasses, you know, based on her own, you know, premium and all of that. But my boss told her, when I say my boss, I'm referring to him as my spiritual father in the office and also my prayer partner. But my boss told his own boss, he said, madam, don't worry. Within 4 hours, you are going to see that glass. He said, The woman said, Do you think God is a magician? My boss said, I told my boss, that is an insult to the personality of God. He said, do you think God is a magician? That man gave the word and he told me, we're praying. He opened his heart and said, Bara, I had to believe in that word that I said. And lo and behold, he went back after some minutes to meet the lady. And the lady said, do you think God is a magician? And eventually, she saw that glasses as little or as minute. And he said, Bara, do you know what God has done? God has given me a form of influence over her that when I tell her, madam, I think we should take this direction. You don't know what I'm talking about. These are people that control and control. Let me not just mention. These are people that matters in the industry of cement. He said, "Madam, I think now." He started explaining to me what he started enjoying from that singular experience of him demonstrating rugged faith. And that gave him open doors. That whenever a decision is being taken, they say, "Come, let us call. Have you asked the doctor?" Hallelujah. So many a times we get robbed of God's promises over our life is because we don't believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9, he said, "For a great door." He didn't say a small door. He said, "A great door, an effectual, has been opened unto me." You can title the message, "Capacity for Open Doors." Capacity for Open Doors. He said, "For a great door, an effectual, has been opened unto me. But there are many what? Adversary." There are many adversary. For a Christian, for every child of God, every genuine child of God, a great door, this is what scripture says, a great door, an effectual, has been opened unto us, but there are many adversaries. In my short study, adversary actually means enemies or oppositions. You see, I love oppositions a lot because I know that opposition will spur me up to, when you are being opposed, you sit up. When you see people opposing in the office, some people just go and feel like, "I don't know why Chinasa is always on my matter. You should be kicked out. I don't know anything I do. She will just turn it down. Anything I do, she will cancel it." Hear this and hear this. I discovered in my short study that opposition, while often uncomfortable, nobody said it's going to be comfortable for you. Nobody. Scripture did not promise us a sweet and fantastic Christian life. If they leached after Jesus, they will come for you. If they persecuted him, they will persecute you as well. If they did not believe him for a while, they won't also believe you. He said, opposition, while often uncomfortable, is regarded as spiritual, particularly Christian content, as a powerful catalyst for growth, purification, and advancement of divine purpose. So, in the life of a believer, opposition is of necessity. Don't think they will not oppose you. One, he said, it is necessary for what? It's a powerful catalyst for growth. It's a powerful catalyst for growth. I keep sharing this on and on and on and on. When I got to my location, my new area, I was supposed to take over. In fact, the devil started from Lagos first. And I was eventually given the opportunity to go and take over that. I met the sons of the Amalekite there. I met them. This one, real life. It's not just scripture. We study it in scripture, right? These ones, you will now see them in different dimension. We have been here before you. Who are you? You this small boy. When did you join? You know what that means? When your strongest backbone does not believe in your capacity. Hi! That's a food for me. That's my food. Because I will prove to him spiritually, through prayer and otherwise, that look, this thing, God has given me capacity over you in this thing. Hallelujah. So, it's that singular act from that brother. And he started, entering into the heart of other people. I saw myself growing. Not just in the word of God, on the job. What do I need to do? Study. Prepare. Hallelujah. So it's a powerful catalyst for growth. Purification. I started praying as if there is no tomorrow. I start midnight, daytime, I prayed. And one of the favorite scriptures that Pastor Ayo, introduced us to was Genesis 26 and verse 12 and 13. And I now took it up further to verse 17 and 22. We are going to look at that scripture where Isaac faced real time opposition, and what did he do? Hallelujah. So for growth, purification, that is to say, in the place of prayer, you don't just go and sleep. An advancement of divine purpose. Hallelujah. We'll quickly just look at Genesis 26 and verse 12. He said, Isaac sowed in the land. Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year an hundredfold. And the Lord what? Blessed him. Verse 13. And he said, the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. And after this, verse 13, opposition was waiting for him in verse 17. Can we see verse 17? He said, and Isaac departs. After he has done all of that in verse 13, he said, and Isaac departs and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. He thought, this is where the Lord has given unto me. I will, experience, dominion and influence over this land. And now let's see verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped him after the death of Abraham. Who are you? Who is your father? That's where you begin to hear. Who are you and who is your father? And he called the name of the place what? He said he called the name of the which his father had. He said, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Let me see verse 19. And Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well springing of water. Let me see verse 20. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac. Isaac's herdsmen. And they began to say, the water is ours. The oil well is ours. We have to be the one to have dominion over this land, not you. Where are you coming from? Where did you spring forth from? He said, they began to drag with him, said, the water is ours. This promotion is ours. That's why I challenge every one of us in this assembly to keep speaking our confession every day before you go out. Keep speaking it. He said, they began to challenge him, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Essek because they strove with him. Can we see verse 21? And they digged another well, and for that well they strove also with him. And he called the name of the place Sitna. Can we see verse 22? And in verse 22 he said, and he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of the place Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord had made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Isaac realized and said, now the Lord has given us opportunity. The Lord has given us dominion, and we shall be fruitful in the land. In the name of Jesus. So many a times when we see opposition, it's not the time for us to fizzle out. I keep saying it, and I love this statement. The opposition is what? My own motivation. Praise the Lord. He said the Lord has made room. Room. Room means opportunity. Opportunity. Room means the Lord has given us capacity. The Lord has made room for us. So what will have happened to a man like Isaac? Let's say we have a Tunde in this assembly, and Tunde takes on a particular assignment in the office, and somebody, your boss, assigns something to me. If I assign a job to someone, I'm looking at that person's capacity already. Can the person deliver? I'm doing the job. There's an assignment I assigned to my team, and my boss was calling me for that particular job. In fact, I now mistakenly did a tougher document. And when I submitted it, they said, this is not what we wanted. Your own customers are just 11. And I did up to 50-something. And I went back and I submitted that 11. Now, looking at, and after I did that, they submitted that document to me the next day. Hallelujah. I think it's also, it calls for, some form of training, because I'm not just going to penalize anybody. I think it calls for some form of training. And now, look at what I wrote down here. Opposition is a sign, is not a sign of failure. It is a sign, it is a confirmation of a significant spiritual calling when you are being opposed. Hallelujah. If you realize, there's this short Christian clip that we normally, it has been on the internet for 2 years or more, I'm not mistaken, where a guy called Chibuzo was dozing. It's a short clip, but it passes a very strong message. Chibuzo was dozing at a point when his destiny was being decided. A phone call, most of those big men, they can talk 4 a.m. to most of the times I step out of the room, and by 5 a.m., 5 a.m., we are deciding who gets this truck and who does not get this truck. And we decide to move the truck out. So I step out of the room. Sometimes 2 a.m. they call me and say, or they text me and say, this so number of truck have just entered the depot. These are the SKUs. And then we begin to decide, and one or two calls, we begin to share ideas. Okay, who do we give? So Chibuzo's destiny was being decided in the night, and this guy was dozing. And it was like a billion naira contract. I don't know, am I the only one that have seen that clip? And Chibuzo was sleeping, and you know, like an angel of the Lord was talking to him. Chibuzo, wake up. He adjusted even the more foolishly, and he was dozing. He said he dozed even the more, until as if sometimes you think it's mosquito. It's not mosquito. Angel of the Lord can actually slap you to get up. Hallelujah. To get up and pray. So eventually Chibuzo actually got up and he started praying, and that decision, you know, favored him. So most times, and the person that was saying, no, I don't like him. I don't just like him. Maybe the way he carries himself, maybe the way he feels as if he's the only born again Christian in this organization. What has he done to you? I don't just like him. I don't just like the glasses he wears. Or I don't even like the way he drives into the compound. I don't just like the way he zooms off. There's no reason. Ask him, what's the reason why you don't like Chibuzo? I don't know. I don't just like the guy. Maybe the guy should come and dobale to you or be in your camp. And what happened? They now said, he's actually this person's brother. He said, really? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So opposition is not a sign of failure. It's not a sign as if you are not capable. It's not a sign as if God is not with you. Hallelujah. It's a confirmation of God's spiritual calling upon your life. Praise the Lord. Judges chapter 16 and verse 11 to 16. We'll quickly look at that scriptures. Judges 16 and verse 11 to 16. We are looking at the man Gideon. Hallelujah. And he said unto her. No, that's not what I'm looking at. Okay, 11 to 16. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never will occupy, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Let me see verse. Next verse. No, this is not where I'm looking at. Yeah, Judges 6, actually. Sorry, Judges 6. Judges 6. Talking about Gideon. Judges 6. Let me just quickly read from the scriptures here. Judges 6, verse 11. He said, And there came an angel of the Lord and sat upon the oak tree, which was in Ophrah, and pertained to Joash, the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress to hide from the Midianites. I started asking myself, why is Gideon hiding from the Midianites? These were strong men, and they had brutally oppressed the Israel. Brutally oppressed them. You get some kind of people in your office that have brutally oppressed you through their words, through their, you know, statements. They say, this person. And they begin to gossip. He said, this Midianite had brutally oppressed the Israelites. And in verse 12, and he said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, Gideon, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And I can imagine Gideon looking at his left and his right. And am I the one that the angel of the Lord is speaking to? And in verse 13, and he said, Gideon said unto him, my Lord, if thou be with us, then why is all this befalling us? And that's what some Christians are even asking now. Oh my God, if you are with me, why have I not gotten that desire that I have trusted you for the past 12 months? If you are with me, why is my family still struggling? If you are with me, why am I not attracting the right guys? Pastor said something in first service. He said, if you are chasing a lady and she's not giving you a green light, move. Or a person tells you and says, look, I want a break. Just tell the person, by the time you are coming back, there might be no space. Hallelujah. He said, and Gideon said unto him, my Lord, if you are with me, why then am I into this challenge? Why then am I going through this trouble? Why then am I experiencing what can be a Job's experience? And the Lord replied him in verse 14. And he said, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. A lot of us, God has given us dangerous capacity to, you know, own three types of businesses, but we are not aware of it. A lot of us, God has given us capacity to sit in some thrones that our bosses are sitting on, but we are not aware of it. He said to Gideon, go in this thy might. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the land of the Midianites. You know, remember, them, these are people that have brutally, I didn't just say oppressed, they have brutally oppressed the children of Israel. Now, God is now speaking to Gideon. He said, go in this thy might, and you will what? You will deliver the children of Israel from the Midianites. He said, have I not sent you? Am I not the one that is sending you? Moses said unto him, say, who will I tell them has sent me? He said, just go and tell them, I am. That is a more confusing statement. That statement, if I were Pharaoh, I can even slap Moses' face. Do you think we are joking here? Do you think I am joking? He said, go and tell them. I believe Pharaoh was even thrown into pandemonium. When he heard such, he was afraid. He was scared. He has never heard such a statement. I am. If you hear such kind of statement in Yoruba language, eh? I am that I am. I am that I am. Those days, even when you see those in the world, you know, they come out and they use some statement before they begin to, they say, Nami be this. When somebody tell you, go and ask those days in Port Harcourt. When somebody tell you, Nami be this, and they do like, oh boy, you run. Run, because the next thing that will come out, you don't even know where that thing will come. They are not holding anything. But when they just say, Nami be this, and they do like, before you know, something will appear. I'm telling you the truth. But God said to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. Hallelujah. And I believe Pharaoh was even more scared with such statements. So God was speaking to Gideon. He said, I am the one. And I'm speaking to a lot of us in this house today. He said, I am the one that have sent you. Have I not sent you? Did I not send you? Why do you walk as though you have no backup? Why are you walking as though you have no capacity? Have I not sent you? Have I not proclaimed over your head? And in verse 13, and he said unto him, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's clan. Gideon is still exhibiting some form of doubt or lack of capacity in God's word. And he said in verse 16, God will have to have mercy. He said in verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with you, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Surely I will be with you, and you shall do what? Smite the Midianites as one man. You see, we hear a lot of God's word, undiluted God's word, you know, tough God's word, you know, deep-rooted God's word in this assembly. There are some things God will take from a baby Christian, and it might not take, not just from pastors, it might not take from you that have been sitting under God's servants for the past 2 years or 1 year. It might not take from you. That is what differentiates Zechariah and who? Sarah. Because God expected more from Zechariah. God expected, or the angel of the Lord expected, that as soon as he spoke to that man, Zechariah, the man was supposed to remember thousands of scriptures. Hallelujah. How God has delivered, how God has saved, how God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, how God did a lot of miracles, and he shouldn't have questioned God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. So most times we get laid back as Christians because we are lazy. The things you might see Pastor John experience can be different from the things you might see Pastor Gideon experience. The things you might see, I mean the blessings of God or entering into dominion and experiencing open doors that you might see, let's say a Tony experience, can be different from what you may see a Deborah experience. Because one may have a deep-rooted knowledge of God's word and he runs with that word. After God has told Gideon something very fundamental, he said, am I not going with you? If I were Gideon, see, these scriptures are there to help us, to give us a cognitive reorganization or reorientation. If God told Moses or Joshua He said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I expect Joshua or Gideon to remember, flashback to the word of God. As he said immediately, even well, maybe because he's facing God, he could not say much. But I expected him to remember the goodness of the Lord and profess God's word, backing what God has said. And in verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with you. This is God still, you know, emphasizing his authority over him. He says, surely I will be with you, and you will smite the Midianite as one man. Hallelujah. We see in scriptures, so many of them, you know, Jabez chapter 4 and verse 10, there's a strange and dangerous prayer that Jabez prayed. He said, oh, wilt thou not bless me and enlarge my capacity? Enlarge my capacity. God has given us this year. There is no doubt, except you want to toy with it, except you don't believe. It's your year of dominion. It's your year of influence. And when it seems as though you are not experiencing it, go to the scripture. As scripture has said in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10, Jabez cried out. The Bible says Jabez was even more honorable. We saw last year that Daniel was more honorable than the brethren, and God began to place Daniel over the realm. But this is another man. And Jabez called on the God. Let me see from verse 9. Let's see from verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable. Do you know the word honorable? The word honorable. The word honorable means that is, you are, I don't even know how to put it. It's not this honorable house members. No. I'm not talking about those guys. But that is what it was supposed to be. You don't cheat. You don't tell lies. You are pious. You are what? You don't pad the budget. That's what it means by being honorable. He said, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow. So you can unturn whatever name. That's why when they named me Orubite, my father's name is Orubite. It's not even his name. I don't know why he chose that name. I still don't understand. I was sharing with my wife when we were small, and he would be dancing masquerade, and they would tie a live chick. They would tie, he and one other lady, they were the chief dancers. They could dance. That's why you see me, that I convert that dancing to God. Even if I don't know how to dance, I dance for God. So he and one other lady, they were the chief dancers. So much so that after, when the masquerade comes out, there will be like three masquerade or two, or sometimes one. When the masquerade comes out, they will dance and dance and dance and dance. And my dad and that lady will be the only two people, I think they were the leaders of that group, that will dance with that masquerade until the masquerade will go in. They will not escort the masquerade in. You will see him shaking his waist like a woman. They will dance and dance, put bells in their waist. And they had a live chicken. I don't know what that means. They would tie the live chicken behind by the masquerades, you know, by the whatever is on the head of the masquerade. They will tie it. So that live chicken, once the masquerade is dancing and dancing, that masquerade will dance until the live chicken dies. And you keep dancing until they round up that section. I'm telling you, really, I don't understand. It was just this week I began to reflect. And I told myself, I shared this with Pastor. Pastor prayed with me. And I told myself, I mean, my name now, the meaning of my name means, Oru means a garment. Abi? Oru, I'm looking at Joy now. Oru means a garment. And Bite means what? Okay, Oru means juju, sorry. Bite means garment. So it means garment of juju. Oru Bite is the meaning of, and it means garment of what? Juju. And I looked at what he experienced. This is a man that died when he was 37. I'm looking at Gideon now. Please draw back to Gideon. He said, I'm the least. And Jabez, he was more honorable. My father was honorable because he was giving, and he gave until he died. He was still giving. Somebody called him one time and he couldn't give that person because he needed to pay his school fees for his children. He wrote a letter to that person. The person wrote a letter back to him. And that letter was I think it was that year he even passed. So, you may be a honorable man, but the devil will come for you if you are not prayerful. Jabez was more honorable. He didn't say he was a Christian. He didn't say he loved God. He was more honorable. He doesn't cheat. You can see some people, their religion does not permit them to cheat. But they don't fear God. They don't regard God. They are not lovers of God. They don't like coming to church. Those are the people that the devil will first catch first. He will say, these are my own. Let me leave them. Let me now go for those that don't cheat, that don't tell lies, but they are lovers of God. They love God. Those are the people the devil will now be striving to get. So when I realized that I was towing the path of, you know, being a honorable man without spiritual backing, I think God now helped me. So they will dance until that chicken dies. And sometimes, the masquerade will flog you. You don't even know what they are flogging you with. You don't know what they are putting in your body. Hallelujah. So I started thinking, what do I do? Do I just change my name to, it was going to cause a lot of issues. So I just shift the Orubite one side from my children. Because they can't face the battle that I faced. Hallelujah. He said, Jabez was more honorable. It's not enough for you to be honorable to have capacity for open doors or dominion. And his mother called him Jabez because I bore him with sorrow. I bore him with sorrow. So I have the authority over him to call him Jabez. Sorrow. It will not be well. It will be well with you, but it may take time. God forbid. Near success syndrome is canceled in the name of Jesus. Everything that will make you are about to enter the promised land, but your mother said, I will call him Jabez because I bore him out of sorrow, is canceled in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I have to help myself and decided that I won't pass this Oru Bite to my children. Hallelujah. So see in scriptures, Jabez prayed, verse 10, something very key. He had to come out of that bondage by himself. By himself. He said, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. He had no other option because he is a goner. He had no other option. He is gone already. He said, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Bless me. Is there no other blessing for me? Just as, you know, Esau was crying. Is there no one left for me? He said, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. If I read this scripture, I shout sometimes. I shout, you know, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. You know what? Enlarge my capacity. This capacity that I'm operating is too small. Enlarge my capacity. I want to have dominion this year. But the way I'm going, I will just be like a local champion. I want to have dominion in my business this year. But the way I'm going, I don't have any influence. Enlarge my capacity. Enlarge it. So much so that you'll be mentioned in some strategic place. Go and look at what this guy is doing. Go and look at what Isaac is doing. Go and look at what Jephthah is doing. Go and look at what Kemi is doing. When your capacity is enlarged. He said, enlarge. You ask yourself, why is he praying this kind of prayer? He said, enlarge my capacity. Yes, I have capacity, but I'm praying for you to enlarge it. This capacity will make me just appear like a local champion. I have been on this mountain for too long. It is time for an enlargement. I don't care whether, you know, as Pastor has said, whether it is not your time for elevation, but you can tell God, enlarge my capacity. Enlarge it. You can pray that prayer with all your heart. He said, he now said something, and that thy hand will be upon me and be with me, and thy hand might be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil, because enlarged capacity breeds evil easily. Easily. Do you know what? Let me share a life story with you. You don't know. Most times when we go out to do field work, I travel around the states, you know. Go here, I have to lodge in an hotel. Go here, lodge in an hotel. Go here. Do you know how things the devil blows to my mind? You go and you lie down in an hotel and you are relaxing. Nobody's there. There's no harvest world in that town. There's no Pastor Timothy. My wife is not there. Nobody is there. But the eyes of the Almighty watches over you. So most time when I have those thoughts, I don't, most time I might not feel like praying. You know what I do? I video call with my wife until I feel like sleeping. We'll just be talking. Even if she's in the kitchen,
let the video call be on. I will just be looking at that part of the house until I sleep. Because when your capacity is enlarged, temptation will come to you on their own. You are not looking for them. They will stroll to you. Do you know the temptation that the devil blew to my mind just this week? We have a lot, some form of scarcity. Yeah? And I just see in my account, I'm not asking you for anything, but you need my favor. And say, no, once I see the money, I just buy what I want to buy. Then later, oh, you sent me, oh, sorry. I will now go back to my chat and be thanking them. Do you know what the devil told me? Let's be real, oh. Do you know that I can tell them, if I give you, this is what you are supposed to get this week. You're supposed to get like 2 trucks, right? Based on your capacity as a distributor. We have some distributors that have large capacity. But I'm going to give you 5. But out of these 5, from each one, people do it. For each truck I give you, this is what I want. Say, God forbid. That means I am not honorable. The devil came to me and told me, life. He said, tell them. And I said, God forbid. That is the devil coming to you. When your capacity is enlarged, God places you. Beware of the enemy, because he will come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we getting something this morning? He will definitely come. Praise the Lord. And that was the prayer of Jabez. He said, that your hand will be upon me, that evil will not take over my heart. Evil will not take over my life. That I will not begin to do what is wrong. I get a lot of pressure calls. My wife knows. Yesterday, I turned down one guy. I said, never. This guy cannot take this thing in this location. I am going to satisfy my number one in that location. And he didn't pick my call till later in the evening. He was calling me back. So when God has placed you over some, realms of dominion and authority, you have to be watchful. Because Satan will come with the fruits of evil to test you. Hallelujah. So when you are praying, God, enlarge my capacity. This year is my year of dominion. This year is my year of open doors. You need to also take this prayer of Jabez very, very, very serious. You don't need to wait until that time comes. Praise the Lord. You, as you are praying, you pray that God, by the time you bless me with this, and this, let evil not take over my heart. That's why I love the scripture in Psalm 139 and verse 23 and 24, where, David was always crying out because he knew how he could easily fall. So he always reminds himself. He said, Lord, search me. Search me. Know my heart. Try me. Try me. Just try me. You know my thoughts, but try me. See if there is any wicked way in me. Then now lead me in the way that is right. Try me. Don't wait until I fall before my enemy, or don't wait until I face my enemy and you begin to try me. Try me. Let the thoughts come in my closet and let me fight that negative thought. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Hallelujah. Everything comes to us that belongs to us if we create capacity to receive it. Everything come to us. Everything that God has said, we definitely come to us. Everything that belongs to us, we definitely come to us if we create capacity. If we create capacity. Pastor has said this and he has overflowed this. I wouldn't want to say much on this. He has said this a lot in his messages. If we create capacity, you want to be in this position, you want to do this business, you want to do that business, and you don't have capacity for it. You've not learned, gone for this and this and this training. And you just want to show up. It doesn't work that way. Praise the Lord. What must I do to experience capacity for open doors? What must I do? What must I do? There are things that Christians must do. Christians must engage in. 1, faith in God's word. Faith in God's word. Faith in God's word. Very key. Say faith. Scripture says faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of what you have not seen. You have not seen it. It is the substance. Substance of things that you are hoping for. The evidence. How can you have evidence for something you have not seen? How can you have evidence? When they say evidence in the natural, for the natural man, say, where is your evidence? You said this person did this and did this to you. Where is your evidence? But scripture said faith is the substance of the things that we are hoping for, the evidence of the things that we have not seen. I want to grow in this aspect of my business and my career. I have not seen it, but I am demonstrating the evidence of the things I have not seen. I write them down. I begin to walk towards it. I see it in my mind. As far as your eyes can see. As far as your eyes can see. Recently, I know it's going to be a testimony that I will share later. But recently, we're thinking of doing something for the past few years as a family. Before I was transferred to Benin, we're trusting God for a particular thing. And I went to Benin trying to look. We got a contact. We didn't call because we were just worried that this thing may not be the way we are looking at it. I got to Benin. I started looking for that office. I didn't get the office. We got a contact again in Lagos. They told us, this thing cannot work like this. So you have to have this. You have to have that. You have to have all of this. And we held on to that since last year. But all of a sudden, we agreed. When I say we agreed and said, okay, let us even go to the office. And we got there. Immediately we got there, we've written this thing down as part of our key achievements for this year. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what you have not seen. We wrote these things down as part of what we want to achieve this year. And we stepped out. We got into the office. We saw the first security man. We approached him very politely. Because that's where your problem, some of us, that's where our problem starts. Because when you just go and see a gate man or a security man, you just talk to them rudely. And you want to gain ascendancy. He directed us to his own boss, which is the CSO. And that CSO directed us to another lady. In fact, when that lady saw us, wow! He said, you guys are... She was just as if she wants to swallow both of us. She was so excited seeing us, young people. He said, you guys are just young. She said something. Do you attend Christ Embassy or Dominion? I think Dominion City. Now, what do you think that lady saw in us? She saw that we were, to me, she saw that we were clothed with that garment of praise, that garment of dominion, that garment of light. How will she guess that, first of all, we are Christians? She saw the light, and that light is already paving that way. Hallelujah. She saw the light, and she mentioned two key Christian, denominations, and we just smiled. She's the one that is chasing us now. We are the ones that will just get the documentation and we'll give to her. We know nobody but faith. Faith, the evidence of the things that you have not seen. I want to challenge somebody today. This year of dominion will work for a lot of people, but some people will be hanging like the five foolish virgins. That's not going to be our portion in the name of Jesus. Can I see Romans chapter 4? Where scripture was talking about Abraham. Romans chapter 4. Against all hope. I want to show us something in that scripture. Romans chapter 4 talks about Abraham believed in hope. Against hope. I want to just simplify that scripture. Even hope. I'm not talking about Sister Hope now. Even hope. He said, from verse 3, he said, for what said the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Move to verse 4. Verse 4. No, let's go. Now to him that walketh. No, let's go on. Let me see verse 6. I'll get there. No, let me see verse 5. But unto him that walketh not and believed on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted unto righteousness. I'm looking for where scripture says Abraham believed against hope. If you don't have it, then verse what? Verse 16. Okay. Good. Now, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise that is sure to us it. Not to that only which is of the law. But this is not where I'm looking for. But verse what? Let me see verse 17, please. This scripture just came to my heart. He said, as it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations before him which believed, which before him whom he believed. Okay, verse 18. He said, who against hope believe in hope? Now, let me explain this scripture to you as I understand it back then. Now, even hope did not believe that Abraham was going to have that dominion that year. So what did Abraham do? He said, who against hope? Because Abraham was already fighting against the thought of hope. Hope was already there to limit him. Not Sister Hope, please. He said, who against hope believed? Abraham had to believe in hope that it might become, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which is spoken. Now, let me paint this scenario. Hope was saying, Abraham, I'm not sure this is possible. Or let me use the word faith. There's nobody that is faith in this church. Let me use the word faith. Believe. There's nobody believe in this church. There's no belief. Let me use the word believe. Believe was saying, Abraham, I don't think this is possible. But you know what Abraham did? He tied a chain in the neck of belief. And he began to drag him. You must believe. You must. Because God has said it. So sometimes you need to drag your faith to the point that the blessings of God upon your life will materialize. And you will see the fruits. I'm serious. I just need to paint that mental picture. When I got this picture years ago, I said, there's no devil that can stop me. Because sometimes you want to achieve that thing. Even your faith is weakening. That's why I started with that song. You say, come and take. See that the Lord is good. See that the Lord is good. Oh, that joy. There is a joy for those who trust in him. The enemy, he will come for your trust in God. He will come for your faith in God. He will come for your belief in God. He will come for your hope, the hope in God's undiluted word. So what did Abraham do? Against faith. Abraham, who against faith, believed in faith, in the word, that he might become the father of many nations. I don't know what God has spoken to you in this year of dominion. If there is anything that will not make you get in there, you need to drag them. Put that chain in their neck and drag in the place of prayer. Drag them. That's why he has said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. That is where that prayer comes in. Whatever you lose is loose. God has given you that full authority. So you come in the place of prayer and you tell that situation, whether you like it or not, the word of God has been proclaimed over my life. It is my life. And you must walk in alignment to the proclamation of God's word over my life. Who is that devil? It's my life. It is my life. Say to somebody, it is my life. It is my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I wrote something here. I said, as is our confidence, so is our capacity. The word confidence, faith, hope, belief, they are somehow related. As is your confidence, so is your capacity. If your confidence level is zero, your capacity is zero. As far as your eyes can see. As far as your eyes can see. Some of us will say, please, let me just see the one I can manage. God forbid. You are not to manage as far as your eyes can see. As far as your eyes can see. Whatever you want, where you want to be in 10 years, see it now. See it now and begin to drag that faith. It could be on faith. You begin to convert it to faith in God's word. The next point, the first point is faith in God's word. The next one is preparation / readiness. Proverbs 16 and verse 1 and also verse 9. Proverbs 16, 1 and verse 9. You see in verse 1, scripture says, a man's heart devises his way. But the Lord, that's verse 9. Okay, verse 1 says, the preparation of a man's heart, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You have to prepare. Most Christians don't even prepare. You want to do a presentation, you have not prepared. You want to go for a meeting and you know you are speaking, you are not prepared in that meeting and you just go and start saying, it's like, oh my God, you will be so embarrassed. You have to prepare. He said preparation and readiness. Now let's see verse 9. Verse 9 says, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord begins to direct his step. There must be something in your heart for God to direct. If there is nothing in your heart for God to direct, you are on your own. A man's heart devises his way. You have to devise your way. You have to devise the things that God has said concerning you in this year of dominion. You have to begin to put some strategy and some plans in place. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his step. You might even be devising that you want to get married to a fair guy, or you want to get married to a tech guy, or you want to get, but what the Lord will now begin to do, he now sees the need for marriage in your heart, which is a pure and a fantastic need. He will now begin to direct you. He will now begin to direct you. And he will make every negative plans in your heart, because he is a God that knows your end from your beginning. He will now make every negative thoughts or every negative plans that may happen in the future, he will avert it for your sake. He begins to direct. Hallelujah. I wrote down that preparation means the unseen works that turn opportunity to success. Though when you are preparing, most people don't see it, but it's described as the unseen works that turn your opportunity to success. Hallelujah. Now we'll look at critically, we're not delving into that scripture because of time, Matthew 25, talking about the story of the 10 virgins. We cannot overemphasize this particular story because it has to do with serious preparation. These were Christians because they were regarded as virgins. They were waiting for the bridegroom. And what happened? Five had already prepared and said, okay, if the groom did not show up, we have extra oil. But the other five never planned, never thought of anything that has to do with planning. They were just there. And scripture, if you look at that scripture critically, you will understand that that is even talking about the coming of Jesus. So the issue of preparation is key. Most Christians just jump out. Sometimes when I talk to some people, I have to tell a lady, please stop calling me politely. Politely. Because whenever, this was back 2018, when I was still 2018, 2016, 2017, I was dating then. I can be on a call with this lady for 1 hour and my fiance is just there. And whenever I finish talking with her, I am drained. They don't take to counsel. I don't know whether they just want to be talking to you, talking to you, talking to you. They never take to. I will say, do this. The next 2-3 days, you call me, Mr. Baradi. And after that, so that could be regarded as the foolish virgin. I had to cut off from her. Because I was already dying. Hallelujah. Yeah. I was already dying. And it could affect my own relationship. I had to just cut off from her. So you see, the story of this 10 virgin is key in the life of every believer. Preparation is very, very important. And the final point is prayer. Prayer. We have said much. And we need to keep talking about prayer. Jabez cried out. Jabez saw where he was going to. And he prayed. This morning, we are going to pray in just a few seconds. This morning, you are not going to look at anybody. You are going to rise up and we are going to pray. Can we rise up as we pray this morning? We'll take that Jabez chapter, 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 10. That scripture of Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 10. Evil will not grieve us in the name of Jesus. Amen. The dominion that God has planned and predestined for us through his servant, when it comes, we will not be swayed it evil in the name of Jesus. Amen. He said, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and what enlarge my coast. So we are going to start, first of all, we are going to lift up our voice and say, Lord, this year of dominion, let your blessings be evident in my life. Can you lift up your voice and begin to speak to the Lord? Father, in the name of Jesus, in this year of dominion, let your blessing be evident in my life. Lako jambra da zopre eketebelia. Legata paragato sekete. Let your blessings be evident in my life, in my career. Oh, we are not praying. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We are not praying. Now, let me share this with us. I know of a brother in my office. He was not meant to be a director. In fact, when he heard I was elevated, He was somehow, he's a Christian, he's a pastor also in Redeem. But when he heard I was elevated, I saw that look. I could read facial looks, expression as a psychologist. I saw that look, Pastor Kwe. I saw that look in his face. And the look was that he has been an area manager for years and he has not been promoted. How come I now had to join him? That's the interpretation. I saw it. He has been on one position for years and he has not been elevated, but I had to join him. But you know what happened? Immediately, I realized that he started celebrating with me. Or let me say, even say the grace of God upon my life. In less than 6 months, he applied for one of that role. He jumped that role and he was elevated to a role, a deputy regional director that he did not apply for. He did not apply for at all. Hallelujah. So, please and please, these things are real. We have seen the hand of God turn things around in this church. We have seen a lot of people that never thought, as pastors have said, would be abroad, and they are there. We have seen a lot of breakthroughs in this assembly. I am one of the testimonials. So if you don't know what to pray about, hold the hand of your brother and let us pray that prayer. Please get me that scripture about Jabez, 1 Corinthians 4 verse 10. He said, oh, I don't know whether you are already blessed. If you are already blessed, please pray for the next person that is standing beside you. And Jabez called on the God of Israel and said, oh, Dada, can you lift up your voice and say, Lord, bless me. Father, bless me. God bless me indeed. In the name of Jesus, bless the works of my hands. My hand seems to be so dry these days. My hand seems to be so dry these days. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Lord, enlarge my capacity. Enlarge my capacity. I call for business partners. I call for sons from afar. I call for sons from the air, from the north, from the east, from the west. I call them forth to my space for my elevation. Enlarge me, O God. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Enlarge my coast. Enlarge my capacity. Enlarge my coast. Enlarge my capacity. Enlarge my capacity. He said, I have placed a door over you which no man can shut. I have placed a door over you which no man is permitted to shut. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The other part of that scripture which we don't tend to pay attention is that the Lord will keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Let me tell you something. My position, if I want to do a lot of things, I will do it. My wife knows the kind of calls I receive every day, begging. And I say, you don't need to beg me. In fact, this time around, the only way for me to be found, what is the right word now? To be found honorable or not partial is to follow a particular template. So that nobody will say, oh, I've taken this from this person. Evil can easily grieve the heart of a Christian. You don't understand it. I say, evil. Eh? Somebody can say, let me tell you. On one consignment now, let me not mention. On one consignment now, as we speak, I just allocate to you, and you just pick it. There are people that are ready to pick it from you. And I know the thousands you will make. And they are saying, what used to happen, what I have seen my colleagues do. If I give you this, you will give me this. But we are praying as Christians. That's the scripture. Lord, when you enlarge my capacity, evil will not grieve me. It seems as a careless prayer, but please pray it. Say, Lord, when you enlarge my capacity, don't let me fall into temptation. That thou wouldest keep me from evil. Keep me, O God, from evil. That evil will not grieve me. God granted his request because it was a genuine request. God granted his request because it
It was a heartfelt request. I tell you, in the nearest future, God is placing us over domains. God is placing us as captains of industries. But we are lifting up our voices and saying, no, not me. Keep me, Lord, from evil, Father. Keep me, oh God. Keep me, oh God. After you have blessed me, Father, keep me away from evil. Keep me away from evil. Let evil not grieve me. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. He said, try me and know my thought, and see if there be any evil in me, and see if there be any evil in me, and lead me, oh Father, lead me in the way that is right. Rekete parakata paya, eshele branco tele prokodosa, erepe zuzia katabalia. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. I want to warn somebody. I'm seeing someone in the accounts department, not necessarily a core accountant, probably working with the accountants, but I'm seeing him proposing for changes of some figures. The Lord said, I should tell you, they will catch you. Listen and listen clearly. The Lord said, I should tell you, you will be caught. And when you are caught, you will be disgraced out. I'm seeing somebody that is about to connive with other people in the accounts department and say, let us change these figures. The Lord said, I should tell you, you will be caught. And when you are caught, you'll be disgraced. So if you are that person, if it is your heart of hearts, please have a U-turn. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
You have received the word and heaven has marked your moment. This week you will move in divine speed, divine favor, and undeniable testimonies. Go forth as a proof of prophecy. For more information, visit our website at www.theharvestword.org. See you again, and until then, keep soaring.